with prayer. Lord Jesus, we are gathered here today to give you the glory, to give you the honor, and to put our focus on you. I pray that your Holy Spirit work through me and throughout this congregation to hear and understand your word better and to lead a life that's more joyous and honoring and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Martin Ray. I'm one of the elders of the church, and Danny's given me the honor and the pleasure to speak to you today. My message is entitled, Think About These Things, and this is it's a testimony, my testimony, but it's an unusual testimony in that it's really not finished. So with that, let's dive in. Okay, so my first statement is that I want to have joy and peace in my life, and in many ways that doesn't exist. I'll start by talking about identity. Danny spoke about our identity in his first message with regards to prayer, and he said, "Our Father," and he reminded us that we are God's children. Our identity is God's children. Now, I heard that message. I was inspired by that message. I intellectually agreed with that message, but I still was carrying my old identity, and my old identity consisted of being a provider. I had a good job, I earned a good income, I could provide for my family all their financial needs, their food, nice holidays, savings, retirement, all the rest of it. I was an athlete, and I really considered that an important part of my life. I achieved a certain amount of success doing triathlon, swimming, biking, running. I considered myself a good Christian. In fact, I might have even considered myself a super apostle. And I say this because, you know, I chaired the search committee. I'm chairman of the elder board right now. I read the Bible every day, and I pray. But if you read the Bible every day, you also know that Paul didn't refer to super apostles as a good thing. He said in 2 Corinthians, "Indeed, I consider that I am not the least inferior to these super apostles." And in many ways, I considered myself a super apostle because I was doing these different things. However, Danny put me forward and suggested some new things that have happened in my life, and my identity has been changed as a provider. On June 11th of this year, after 18 years with the same company, I was made redundant. So suddenly, I'm no longer the provider. As an athlete, on June the 18th, a protruding disc caused some severe sciatic nerve pain down my left leg and started affected my ability to walk. I was still persevering, I was still trying to swim and cycle. And then on July 14th, I crashed my bike, I cracked a rib, and I punctured my lung and spent 5 days in the holidays. Suddenly, my ability to be an athlete, my identity as an athlete, was gone. And then as a super apostle, as a Christian, Danny asked me to deliver this message, and it made me really, really think about the different things that I was doing and saying and behaving. And on December 18th, I think my eyes were opened and I realized that I'm not a super apostle, and my identity there is gone as well. So things that were important to me in the past have been taken away, and I think God's done this on purpose. He's not in the process of making me feel good about myself. He's making in the process of trying to make me more holy. And you know, as a result of these different things happening, as you can imagine, I've had a lot of negative thoughts, feelings of worthlessness. I've behaved ineffectively, and I don't have joy and peace in my life. And so, what happens? Danny asked me to speak. he's wiser than his age would tell you. So I thought and prayed about it, and this scripture came to me. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Now, just to put this in context, Paul wrote Philippians about 10 years prior to founding the church in Philippi. He dearly loved this congregation, and you can tell it by some of the words that he described in Philippians. he was writing this letter for a couple of reasons, but one of them was because there was a big conflict between two founding members of that congregation, and it was threatening the unity of that church. So he was trying to address that conflict. And let's not forget, Paul wrote this while he was in a Roman jail, which was not a comfortable place to be. His circumstances were not ideal, yet Paul was content. And he tells us that later in Philippians 4. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. How? How was Paul content in really tough circumstances? I argue that there's three reasons why he's content. Number one, prayer. And this is probably one of the most memorized verses in the Bible. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So he tells us to pray. He also tells us to think. So Philippians 4 again, the last line, think about these things and in this way. And he doesn't just want us to think, he wants us to act, practice. The next verse in Philippians 4, 9 says, what you have learned, what you have received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So there's three ways that he's telling us to behave to get this peace of God, through prayer, through thought, and through action. Okay, so what should we think about if we want joy and peace? Philippians 4:8 again. Think about whatever's true. I'm not going to go through all eight of them, but I'll go through a couple. Think about what is true. Well, before I define what's true, what's the opposite of truth? The opposite of truth is a lie. It's false. For me, it turned out to be even worse because it turned out that instead of thinking about the truth, I was thinking about distractions. I was thinking about avoidance. I didn't want to think about the things that were troubling me, that were overcoming me. I was procrastinating. And the Bible speaks about the results of what happens when you don't think about what's true. Philippians 3:19, so just the previous chapter, it says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. And let's not forget, our goal is to be in heaven with God forever. We need to be thinking about heavenly things, not earthly things. So what is true? Real, genuine, and authentic things are what's true. Things that are worthy of respect are what's true. Jesus is true. Jesus is the truth. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So one of the things that we should be thinking about is what is true. What is just? So again, what's the opposite of just? The opposite of just is a lie. What is false? What is not just is manifestly unfair. And being made redundant after 18 years of work feels manifestly unfair. Experiencing 24 hours of pain for 3 weeks and not being able to sleep or think or work seems manifestly unfair. And these are just the little things that I've experienced. Every one of us has things that have happened to us that are manifestly unfair. We're not supposed to be thinking about those things. We're supposed to be thinking about what is right, what is holy, God's justice. God will provide perfect justice come the end of times, where everybody will get what they justly deserve. And think about a scale. There's the what is just and right, and then there's the other things that are happening. And you need to decide, are what you're doing just, and are what you're thinking about just? And it needs to conform to the Word of God. The Bible is there for a reason. God has shared it with us for a reason, and we should be looking at justice through the lens of what you read in the Bible. All right. So, how should we think if we want peace and joy? Make no mistake, we are absolutely in a battle. The enemy wants to defeat us. And if we're not careful, we're putting ourselves in a position to fail. Our Lord and Commander commands us to think this way. And when you look at this verse again, think about these things. From a grammatical point of view, this isn't a kind request. This isn't something that I think it's a good idea. It's a command. Think about these things. It's very practical. Take everything that you think about and make it captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroyed arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Years past, I suffered from debilitating depression. And my wife carefully brought me out of it by constantly reminding me of all the things that I had to be thankful for. The education I was brought up with, the prosperity that I experienced, the relationship in a strong marriage, the beautiful, healthy children, my own health, and constantly reminded me that I should be thinking about the things that I should be thankful for, not the things that are going wrong in my life. And you don't have to look around to see that your situation is always better than a lot of other people. You need to be thankful for what God has given you. We need to seek heavenly thoughts. Set your mind on things that are above, not on earthly things. Remember, this is not our home. Our home is eternity in God in heaven. We need to be thinking about heavenly things and what's above. We need to be renewing our mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And finally, we need to teach. We need to teach our children. You should teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you're on the rise. You should be constantly trying to teach your children and the people around you. We are commanded to make disciples, and the first people we should be making disciples of is our family, our children, our wives. The best way to learn something is to teach it to somebody else. Another one of the disciplines that I've been trying to follow is to think about my family for 5 minutes a day. Just think about those people for 5 minutes a day, about my wife Cammie, about my daughter Camille, my other daughter Charlotte, and just think about, you know, what they like, what they need prayer for, and instead of thinking about myself constantly and think about why I'm thankful for them and what they need and how I could be serving them better. And I might recommend the same for yourselves. So in conclusion, our identity begins with our Father. We are his children. Our identity is in our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. It is, and from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that we are not at home. And we are to be transformed. Who will transform our lowly body to be his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself? God has elected us to be part of his kingdom, but we still have a responsibility and a role to play while we're here on earth, and we are to be transformed. Now, again, at the beginning I said, I'm in the middle of this. I'm still unemployed. I'm still not able to do triathlons, and I'm still trying to reconcile what it means to be a Christian and to die to myself and to live for the glory of Christ. All I know is that all of these things, true, honorable, just, pure, lovable, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise, only one person fulfills all these things, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Is the promise of joy worth the battle of disciplining your thoughts? That's the thought that I leave you with and ask you to seriously consider. So with that, I'll close in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to serve you. I pray that I've been able to honor your word and to honor you, and I pray that your Holy Spirit works through all the congregation here as we go about the rest of this week. In Jesus' name I pray.
Can we encourage our brother here? Thank you.
few years there. Can I do that?
So it's not easy to get up and preach if you haven't done that a lot. Is that true?